So we're going to talk about rest as part of this today, but it's complicated. I know this. So to begin any good kind of complicated sermon, you need a vocabulary lesson, right? So I want to help you with a very important word that you're going to need in your life, and you're certainly going to need it. There will be that moment that comes that you'll be happy to know this word, this phrase. You with me? First part of the phrase, Herkel. All right? Can you say that with me? Herkel. Herkel, right? So Herkel, and then the second part of it is similar, but it does have its own distinguishing kind of characteristics. So you want to say Herkel, and then you say Dirkel, all right? So there's, and then there's, so say it with me, Herkel Dirkel, right? Herkel Dirkel. And you're going to need this word because this is a very important phrase. It's Scottish. It's 200 years old, and it means to lounge in bed well beyond when you're supposed to get out of it. That's for real. Did you know that I have Scottish ancestors? And that's how I know, because I'm a practitioner of Herkel Durkering. So maybe this week at some point when you go, it's too much. I just can't, 5 more minutes, have you ever said that? Right. This is why God gave us the snooze bar, right? Except the snooze bar, scientifically, is not helpful. You're probably smart to not to hit that thing over and again. I had a time in my life that I would struggle so much to get up in the morning, I would set up 2 alarm clocks. Perhaps you have done that. I'm seeing practitioners of the 2 alarm clock. And then in graduate school, the first time, years and years ago, 30 or so years ago, I was up to three alarm clocks. I would set one in my bedroom, one next to my bed, and one down the hall that I had to drag up and go and turn it off as well. It was this elaborate loop of foolishness. So now I just say to my wife, Herkel Durkel, and she says, get up. We're going to talk about rest today, and there is certainly a need for rest. Rest is fundamental to who we are and who we've called to be. In the Ten Commandments, you've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? We have this whole series of things that you are directed by God to do. You will have no other God before me. Don't you be going and thinking that your work, your avocations, your political party, the person that you follow on Instagram, that they are your God, right? You will have no other gods before me, the very first one. You know, there's things in there about, jealousy, envy. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's lawnmower is what I've been, you know. And then there is the whole business of Sabbath. There, in their Ten Commandments, fourth commandment, you're going to take a day off, and you're going to keep it holy. You're going to do this act where you reserve yourself from work and treat that space and time as holy. Now, I know this gets complicated. This is more than some simple sort of like, well, let's just kind of like mark off this box. Although we've tried for a long time, but our life, certainly our life right now, requires lots of different things, including, you know, the work that you had to do to get here today, and the work that you will inevitably ask someone else to do as they bring you an omelet, probably a very expensive omelet later today. So rest is important. It is physically important. It is psychologically valuable to us. But it's also something that a lot of us probably can say, how do you do it, right? I mean, I know I'm supposed to rest, but how do you find the time or the space or even kind of like clear the chaos and the clutter enough for that to occur? So you're not alone in this. And also, it's been hard. There are things that work to snatch the opportunities for us to rest. I mean, certainly social media is designed to work like a slot machine, right? It's really kind of designed to say, hey, pay attention to me. Let's keep playing. Let's keep going. Let's keep doom scrolling. Let's keep this thing going on. Right? It's intentionally designed. I am not making this up. It is designed with some of the same principles of keeping eyes and butts. Excuse me for saying butt, you know, but, you know, keeping our focus in that space. And there are other things that are going on in our life and around us that are worrisome, that make it difficult to kind of like find a place where I can feel like I can just simply be for a moment. Turn on the news. You know, many of us have people who are federal workers in our orbit right now. Folks are very worried about people who are dealing with immigration issues, whether they're documented or not. There are, I mentioned the price of eggs just a few moments ago. The inflationary pressures are enormous inside of our society and our economy, and they're likely to get worse in the next few days. These aren't political things. These are realities that we're dealing with right now. I took my dog out for a walk the other night and started to see a clear sky and a nice moon. And we do the things that we do when you go out for a walk, right? And came back in to see what happened at Reagan Airport. So there's this constant, constant need and pull for attention. We certainly need to be aware of the things that are going on in our life so that we can be responsible citizens, so that we can do the things we need to do. But also, at the same time, it's nice to be around more than just a few years. That the chronic stress and the chronic kind of drive inside of the treadmill that we are on, the hamster wheel that we particularly run right now, has a cost to it. And so, Lord, how long is oftentimes matched with, Lord, give me a break. So, rest is critical. It's valuable for our psychological and physical health. It's important for our spiritual health, but it's hard. In fact, it's so hard that I know that I'm standing in front of you as a person who's not been herkle-derkling enough. And that, there are things that I'm worried about. I can't sleep well. I also know that never in the history of rest Has anyone ever found it restful for someone to say, you should go rest for a while? It's like, you know, when you say to someone, you need to calm down, that's not going to help. That's going to do the opposite, right? So I don't know where you are in relationship to all this rest business, but I came around to bring this to you, that this is important enough for us to spend time with and important enough for Jesus to have something to say about that. Now, if you look at the scriptures that we just read carefully from Romans, there is this whole business of, I want you to adjust your mind, have a mental adjustment about how you were looking at things. How is it that you're making sense of the stuff that is going on in front of you? Then from the Psalms, it says, I'm inviting us to have a clean heart. So the heart and the mind, both of those things, are in a place that need redirection, which is very different than, give me a break, I'll go away for a few days, I'll come back fresh, everything will be perfect, right? How many times have we told ourselves that story? Oh, I'll go on this vacation, and it will be so good, and by the time I get back, they would have fixed that problem, right? Or, you know, so-and-so would have made up with so-and-so, or, you know, that would have all been, you know. I find it hard sometimes, if I have like 5 days, my first 2 days are detox days. You know, I'm still kind of like chewing on stuff that I left back where I was. And so I might have a day or two, kind of like, oh, this is kind of fun, this is good. But then what happens is we're getting close to the end of that time, you know, day around, you know, 3, 4, 5, something like that. And in my family, we call it the ookies, okay? There's another language for you. And it is made up, of course, but it means that dread that happens as you were getting ready to get back on the plane or get in the car or kind of like head back to end your staycation, and you step right back into the same thing. And what do you find? The stress and the pressure are still there, right? So I am not anti-vacation. Please hear that. But it's more than that. How is it that we are thinking about these things? How is it that we are coming to an understanding? It's so important that Jesus steps in to the conversation. Now, in the particular passage that I asked to be read for today, that passage from Matthew, there is a lot of conversation going on about Sabbath and Sabbath keeping. Remember, you'll have that Sabbath day, you'll keep it holy, and you'll reserve it from work. And Jesus is in the midst of all kinds of conversations and controversy, frankly, over how exactly do you do that. And he says this. Donna read it well. I'm going to read it again. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, like that, and I will give you rest. Love that. He says, come to me, because I know you're dealing with stuff. Heartbreak in your family. Worry about what will happen. Dealing with the economics. Dealing with the conflict. Dealing with the hard realities. I know this is here. Come to me, and I will give you rest. It would be nice to stop there, wouldn't it? Oh, Jesus has got me, right? Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, lift the load. Jesus, kind of like, just received all this, and I'll go on with my life. How often have we tried that, right? Jesus, just take this, and I will go on in my self-centered way with my own life. But he doesn't stop. He says, put on my yoke and learn from me. Now, when we went through this on the Thursday email, I read through this passage, and Sharon put up a picture of what a yoke looks like. Do y'all know what we're talking about with a yoke? Right? We're talking about the center of the egg that cost $18. No. We're talking about those things that would be put on service animals and used to move things. Plow the earth, move the cart, you know, drag the person out of bed. Somehow the yoke would be leveraged and there would be work. Jesus says, come to me, give me your weight, put on my weight. In other words, let's switch this up. Let's change this. Put on my yoke and learn from me. Have a transition of how you understand things. Have a transition of how you're making sense of things. Have a transition of how you're living in your life following Jesus rather than, I got it figured out. Put on your yoke. Put on my yoke, not your yoke. Leave your yoke alone. Put that thing down. Put on my yoke and learn from me. Doesn't say lean on me. He says learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. Like that. And then verse 30, my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Jesus is not simply taking the weight away. I mean, I have spent time in this room at that cross giving him stuff. That's smart. That's good. But he also says, and here's what I want you to do. Maybe this is what you need to do with that weight that you're trying to let go of. Let go of this part, do this other thing that's a little scary. Let go of this part and find your way into having that conversation with the person that you really want to let go of. Exchange your weight for his yoke. His yoke that lightens your load and offers a refocus. To exchange your yoke and find refreshment and renewal and purpose for that work that you have. Perhaps you were thinking, I would give you the three easy steps to finding rest. I just made it all complex, didn't I? Actually, Jesus did that for us. I will tell you this. One of the things that I, and I don't have a copy of this image to show you, but if you come to my office, I'll be happy to show it to you. Or if you go into the offices of staff, you'll run into it as well. Many staff, not everybody was there, and I still have some more deliveries to make. Harrison, I've got one for you. In my my gift to the staff this year, and we do like Christmas gifts, Christmas stuff after the holidays. Why? Because we can't rest and we're doing the holidays, right? So in that, I gave a photograph of two bees. Not to be or not to be, you know, but two actual bees that were bees that were actually working. They rarely kind of congregate together, these two types of bees, but they were working together, and you know what bees do, right? They work on pollen. They remove the pollen, so that it can be useful to their lives, right? So they were flying around these bees, and they were doing their work, and they got so tired from doing their work, they nestled into the cup of a flower and took a nap, right? This is a beautiful image. I'll put this on my Facebook page. I've posted it before, but you need to see it now. And they're covered in pollen. Little yellow dots all over their bodies, just covering them. They're covered in their work. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They're napping right there in the midst of that flower. It's a beautiful image. And so we were having a nice kind of lunch together, late lunch, early dinner together. And I gave this to the staff, and they immediately said to me, "Are you saying that we can take naps at work?" I said, I won't tell if you won't. No, I didn't. But I said no. You know. See, those bees were having to pause in the midst of that work so they could get up and do their job. And that's the invitation, I think, for all of us. There are times when we need to rest, but we do that so that we can get up and do what we're called to do by Jesus Christ. Not that we meet our position description at work so much as we follow our master, our rabbi, our teacher, and do the life-giving, liberating, sometimes hard, but gentle work that he's offering to you and me now. That's your homework. Go take a nap and get to work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.